Last Sunday, September the 16th, 30-year-old Vontae Davis, cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, retired from the NFL. But the problem is he made his decision effectively immediately after the first half in the game against the Los Angeles Chargers and didn't even play the final two quarters. At halftime, he just decided he was done with football. So he packed up his locker and walked out of the stadium. Later on in a statement he released, he said this, "I shouldn't be playing anymore because I lost the passion and the fire's gone out at a time when he was needed the most." And Christians, let me ask you this morning, how many of us sitting in this room right now listening to this sermon are this close to doing exactly the same thing? You're still in the game. You still got your uniform on. People thinking you're still competing and serving the Lord, but inside you're quitting because you lost the passion and the fire's gone out, hasn't it? At a time in these last days when you're needed the most. Well, we're going to start changing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Don't Let the Fire Go Out, looking at the fire that burned on the altar of burnt offering at the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and seeing how that fire that represents the power and the presence of God can start burning in us all over again. And we're going to start this series this morning by simply looking how we need to tend that fire to begin with. And to see that, we turn today to Leviticus chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, Leviticus chapter 6, and I'll read verses 8 to 13 for the context. The Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning. And the fire must be kept burning on the altar. The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed on the altar and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off these clothes and put on others and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out." And let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would come to this church this morning and you would search the hearts and the souls of every single one of us here and show us, is that fire still burning there or not? Pray, Lord, you would just teach us how we can get that fire back, how we need to be maintaining it and taking care of it until you call us home. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. After the Lord brought the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and got them through the Red Sea and gave them water from the rock and manna from heaven and led them by the pillar of fire, he took them to Mount Sinai and told them to build a sanctuary for him. And that sanctuary was the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. And in front of the tent of meeting, there was an altar. An altar of burnt offering with a fire that God said should never go out. And that fire represents the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that should never go out in us Christians either. As long as we tend to it, like we're supposed to. Our text this morning, Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, tells us three things that we need to do in order to tend that fire so it doesn't go out inside of us. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to tend the fire, we need to realize there's supposed to be a fire there. Amen. Verses 8 and 9 here tell us there was supposed to be a fire burning. There was supposed to be a fire burning on that altar, made out of acacia wood, overlaid with bronze plate, 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, 4.5 feet high and hollow, with a grate inside halfway up. The priests or the Levites would put wood under the grate. They'd put the sacrificial animal on top of the grate and the fire from underneath would burn it up. Now, there are all kinds of sacrifices made on that altar. But the one mentioned here, verses 8 to 13, was called the perpetual whole burnt offering, because the priest would offer perpetually over and over again a lamb. One lamb every single morning and one lamb every single night, day after day after day after day. And not just to cover sin. The Israelites kept the fire going on that altar to keep their relationship with God going, to show God that they loved Him and that they were dedicated to Him. All during the 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, all the way up until the time King Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem and a bigger, newer bronze altar of burnt offering, the fire on that altar never once went out as a sign that God was always, always with His people. And because everything in the Old Testament is written as an example for us today, the fire that burned on that altar of burnt offering is still supposed to be burning in us Christians. Now that altar points to the cross where Jesus Christ became our whole burnt offering. And that sacrifice not only takes away our sin, it also gives us a relationship with God. The New Testament tells us we Christians are ministers of a new covenant. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are a royal priesthood, even better than those Levites back then, offering spiritual sacrifices to God. Those priests back then tended to a physical fire. We priests, we Christians today, tend to the spiritual fire. Now, beyond that bronze altar of burnt offering was the tabernacle itself, the tent, with the holy places where only the priests could go. And in the Holy of Holies, the presence of God dwelt between the wings of the cherubim on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 tells us that right now we Christians are God's tabernacle. And Hebrews tells us the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence really dwells on earth today, is right here in the hearts of us Christians. That's where the fire is burning. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. Christians, how many of y'all realize there's supposed to be a fire inside of us? Amen. Which means, Christians, you're hot. So hot you looked up hot in the dictionary, your picture wouldn't be there because it's already burned through the page. That's how hot you are. There's supposed to be a fire inside of us. And why is that fire supposed to be burning all the time? Because on that altar at the tabernacle, there were always sacrifices on that altar. And because it was God who originally lit the fire to start it up. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. Once the Israelites got that altar all made, fire came out from the presence of the Lord and lit it up. Fire in the hole. So no other fire would do. And that source was the source of all the fire at the tabernacle. It even kept lit the fire on the altar of incense in the holy place in front of the Holy of Holies. And Christians, exactly the same thing is true with us. That fire is supposed to be burning in us all the time. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 says the Holy Spirit in us is like tongues of fire. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, God's word is like fire shut up in our bones. And that fire is supposed to be the fuel for everything that we do for God. On fire, we serve God. No fire, we diss God. We're supposed to have a fire inside. Last December the 27th, 76-year-old man from London, England, named John Nolan, was sitting on a park bench in North London when all of a sudden, witnesses say, he just burst into flames. And onlookers grabbed him and rolled him around on the ground to put the fire out, but not before he burned up and died. And the coroner tried every test he could think of to come up with the cause of death. The only cause of death he could determine was spontaneous human combustion. The idea that somehow that old man had a fire burning in him inside that just lit him up like a match. Now, I don't know if we human beings really do have a physical fire inside of us, but I know that we Christians are supposed to have a spiritual fire inside of us. Spiritual human combustion. There's supposed to be a fire inside. Is that fire there? Do we see that fire in our churches? Our churches today have everything from Jumbotrons to Starbucks outlets and everything in between. But the question is, where's the fire? We go to church and sing Just As I Am, leave an hour later just as we were? Are we ever changed? Transformed? Do you ever feel like you have spent any time in the pure presence of God? You ever touched by the Holy Ghost and fire? The average church in America today only brings one person to saving faith in Jesus Christ once every 22 years. Where's the fire? Instead of the Holy Spirit changing hearts, we just have Christians changing churches. So we're not saving the lost, we're just reshuffling the deck with dissatisfied believers. Where's the fire? It's all about bodies, bucks, and buildings so we can all say we go to the biggest church. Meanwhile, the world around us is dying and going to hell in a handbasket. Where's the fire? Is that fire there? And do we understand where that fire is really supposed to come from? Last August the 8th, the Pucker Up Pepper Company from South Carolina held a pepper eating contest in Cooperstown, New York. And one of the contestants was 34-year-old Robert Radcliffe from Syracuse. And the final challenge, each of those contestants had to eat the hottest pepper on the face of the earth at that time, something called the Carolina Grim Reaper. And just so you know, in terms of heat, measured by Scoville units, a jalapeno pepper has 8,000. A Carolina Grim Reaper has 1.6 million. Last year, a man in California ate a Carolina Grim Reaper and ripped his esophagus out, throwing up so much. And a man in Boston, Massachusetts ate one of those bad boys and died of a heart attack. Now, the very nanosecond that Robert Radcliffe ate that pepper, he started having the dry heaves. And started hurting like you would not believe from head to toe. And after 4 days, the pain in his head was so bad, he had to go to the emergency room for what they call thunderclap headaches. Because the chemical in that pepper was so strong, it constricted the arteries in his head and cut off blood supply to his brain. You talk about agony. But finally, after 5 weeks of that, the blood vessels went back to normal and the pain went away. Folks, Robert Radcliffe was this close to having a stroke because of eating a pepper. And this is what he said. It felt like eating fire with a side of fire covered with fire sauce. You talk about having fire inside. Now, we need to realize the fire that God wants us to have inside is not like that. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And it doesn't come from something that we stick in our mouth. It comes from something that God sticks in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, when we get saved. And it doesn't cause us pain, it gives us joy. And the fire that God wants us to have inside doesn't just last for 5 weeks, it will last forever if we tend to it like we're supposed to. The first thing we need to do in order to tend to the fire, we need to realize there's supposed to be a fire there. We go on in this text, we see a second thing we need to do in order to tend to the fire. We not only need to realize there's supposed to be a fire there, we also need to maintain it. If that fire is going to be kept burning continuously on that altar, it has to be maintained. All through the day, and especially all through the night. Because there were no more sacrifices made on that altar after that lamb was sacrificed last thing every evening. And even if there was a sacrifice on that altar or not, the fire had to be kept burning. So those priests never knocked off early. They were always on the clock 24/7. God gets the fire going. We're supposed to keep it going. He's the fire starter. We're the keepers of the flame. We've got to maintain the fire. And Christians, there's all kinds of things that we can do to maintain that fire. But the question is, do we even realize it's our responsibility? Because too many Christians today want the church to do it all for them. The church needs to roll out the red carpet and show me a good time and entertain my kids. And the music needs to be top 40 and give me an emotional experience so I can shed a tear. And the preacher needs to tickle my ears and then shut up so I can get out of here on time and be home for the start of the Packers game. No! How many of y'all realize Christianity takes some effort? Amen. And not to be saved, but to keep the fire burning. Right. Do everything you can to make your calling and election sure. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's something we need to do, people. We need to maintain the fire. In order to maintain the fire, we need to pray. Very few Christians can really sing. Even fewer Christians are called to preach. But every single one of us Christians is supposed to pray. Are we praying? Pastors who don't pray are players. Believers who don't pray are strayers. And that's our problem today. We got too many players, not enough prayers. We got too many singers, not enough clingers. Too many interferers and not enough intercessors. Are we praying? You know how you can tell if your church really has the fire? When more people show up for the prayer meeting than they do for the potluck dinner. That'll get me in trouble. Are you keeping up your prayer altar? Most Christians aren't. And so many, the Church of England now has an app that you can use to get Alexa to say your prayers for you. What do you know? Prayer by proxy. In case you don't know, prayer is supposed to come from your heart, not from your smart speaker. In order to maintain the fire, we've got to be into the Word. We've got to read the Bible. Chicago Bears tight end Trey Burton is a born-again Christian. Trey Burton reads the entire Bible all the way through every 90 days. 90 days. I know Christians who won't read the Bible through even one time in 90 years. Every Wednesday, somewhere in Washington, D.C., where the Secret Service can't tell you, Vice President Mike Pence holds a 90-minute Bible study with all kinds of members of the Trump cabinet. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Secretary of Energy Rick Perry, Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos, Secretary of HUD Ben Carson, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, I could go on and on. If Christians like that need to maintain the fire, Christians like us need to maintain the fire. The average Christian today checks his phone 76 times a day to maintain relationships with his friends. But how many of us Christians check our Bible 76 times a day to maintain our relationship with God? Are we maintaining the fire? You going to church? Sharing your faith with anybody? You doing anything to serve the Lord? Folks, listen, the only thing in this whole wide world that could ever get that fire out is us neglecting it. We've got to maintain the fire. And of course, we got all the excuses, don't we? Well, I go to church every Sunday. Okay, takes care of Sunday. But that perpetual whole burnt offering was done every single day of the week. So what are you going to do to keep the fire burning Monday through Saturday? Well, I don't have any time. You have exactly the same amount of time as everybody else. 168 hours a week. So the issue is not how much time we have. The issue is what are we doing with the time that we have? Well, Kevin, I'm burned out. No, you're not. Christians never burn out because the fire never burns out. Unless we stop doing the things that it takes to keep it burning. Are we maintaining the fire? Well, Kevin, people hassle me for it. What's new? 17-year-old Michael Leal is a senior at Cascade High School in Everett, Washington. Got saved his junior year and then started immediately witnessing and passing out gospel tracts to all of his classmates. That kid won 36 other kids in that school to Christ and even started a Bible club there in less than a year. And even though nobody in that school ever complained or said that he did anything to hurt anybody or anything whatsoever, the school suspended him 3 different times for sharing the gospel. And they even called the police to get him to stop doing it. So finally, Michael Leal called the Christian Pacific Justice Institute and sued the school for violating his First Amendment rights and won. So now Michael Leal can share the gospel at that school with anybody, anywhere, anytime he pleases. And why was Michael Leal willing to put up with all the flack? This is what he said. It's important for me to be in school, but it's even more important for me as a Christian to be a witness at my school. So all through the trouble, I just kept spending more and more time with God in prayer and in the Word. And that gave me the strength to keep on taking a stand for Christ. Talk about maintaining the fire. And I know there's somebody hearing me right now saying, well, Kevin, the problem is my church. My church is a clown circus. Everybody there's fighting all the time. The pastor's a quack. This is not about what anybody else is doing. This is only about what you're doing. It's not your church's responsibility. It's not your pastor's responsibility to maintain your fire. It's your responsibility. Amen. And if your church doesn't have the fire, you be the one to light it up. Well, Kevin, I got a lot of medical problems. I'll bet you she has more than you. Frankie McKenna. Cancer in the trigeminal nerve in her face. Constant pounding pain in her head. Pneumonia, all kinds of infections. I could go on and on. Going back and forth from the hospital in Geneva to Copley in Aurora to the nursing home in Yorkville to another nursing home in Aurora now. Over and over again. But folks, I want to tell you, that woman has a fire burning inside of her. She witnesses to all the doctors and nurses. She tells them, you tell me there is no God, I'll tell you why you're wrong. She even passes out sermon CDs. Folks, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there ain't no fire in the fireplace, because the fire is burning there. Christians, I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how hard the conditions are that we have to put up with. We maintain the fire, and God will use it to make sure good things happen. Right now, one of the worst countries in the entire world for persecuting Christians is Nigeria. And over the last 10 years, it's become an absolute killing field for Muslim terrorist groups like Boko Haram and the Fulani tribesmen who are trying to turn the Christians in Nigeria to Islam. Over the last 10 years, tens of thousands of Christians have been murdered and tortured and kidnapped. Tens of thousands of Christians' homes and businesses and churches have been destroyed and burned to the ground. Just last month, 100 more Christians were murdered in a village called Abanong in Plateau State, because the Muslims are trying to take over there too. Pastor Aduma Warim and his wife and three little boys served this church here in the village of Abanong. And over the last 2 years, the Fulani tribesmen gave them warning after warning after warning over and over again that if they did not close the church and move away, they would be killed, and everybody in their congregation would be killed too. But the Christians wouldn't move, because they're on fire for Jesus Christ. So even though they knew that the pro-Muslim government would not protect them, even though they knew the Fulani would kill them with no more thought than tying their shoes, even though they knew the Fulani tribesmen had killed tens of thousands of other Christians before, those Christians just kept meeting at that church 4 times a week like they always did before, for worship, prayer, Bible study, and reaching out to their community. So the threats against Pastor Warim and his family and the members of that congregation just got worse and worse and worse. And those Christians knew all they had to do, all they had to do was close that church and move away, and they would live and they would be safe. But they wouldn't do it. So finally, last Saturday, September the 8th, the Fulani gave them one last chance and told them, if you do not close your church and move away, tomorrow all of you will die on your Lord's Day, talking about Sunday. So what did those Christians do? Of course, they stayed put and got ready for church the next day like they always did. You say, Kevin, what, are they stupid? No, they're just on fire for Christ. So the very next day, Sunday, September the 9th, the Fulani rolled in. And even before Pastor Warim could get the church, they surrounded his house, set it on fire. Snipers kept anybody from getting out. And Pastor Warim and his wife and three little boys were all burned alive. Then the Fulani torched 95 other houses in the village of Abanong. And then they torched the church and burned it down, and in the process killed over 100 Christians who had gathered there already for worship that morning. Those people went to that church that morning knowing that they were going to be killed. And they went anyway. We've got some folks here at Fox River who won't come to church if it's not Donut Sunday. Now, 2 weeks before those attacks, Pastor Warim was interviewed by a Nigerian newspaper. And the newspaper reporter asked him, why don't you just do the smart thing and get out? Why don't you just close the church and move away like the Fulani wants you to? This is what Pastor Warim said. God has lit a fire in this town for Jesus Christ, and we will not help put that fire out by leaving. Whether we live or die, that fire of the gospel will continue to burn here and spread. It will never be put out in us, and it will never be put out in Nigeria. Our lives don't matter. The gospel does. And what do you know? 6 weeks now after those attacks, the remaining members of that congregation have already started another church. They're leading worship themselves. And today they have over 30 former Muslims who have given their hearts to Jesus Christ because of those Christians' example. Believers, listen to me. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how difficult they may be. I don't care how hard it is for you. I don't care what it is you have to do to serve the Lord. There is nothing, absolutely nothing on this earth, including the devil himself, that could ever, ever, ever put out that fire that God has lit up inside of you. John chapter 1, verse 5, the light of that fire shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot and will not overcome it as long as we maintain it. Like we're supposed to. The second thing we need to do in order to tend to the fire, we need to maintain it. Go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do in order to tend to the fire. We not only need to realize there's a fire supposed to be there, we not only need to maintain it, but third, we need to take a serious look at ourselves and see if that fire is really still there. Look at me. Is it? You say, Kevin, that fire can't go away anyway. It can't go out anyway. It can't. When the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC, the temple and that newer, bigger bronze altar of burnt offering were both destroyed and put out. We disobey God. We blow him off. We don't keep the fire burning. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 says, God will come and take that altar away and the fire will go out. So let me ask you this morning. Is that fire still in you? Or are you just blowing smoke? You say, well, Kevin, where there's smoke, there's fire. No. Where there's smoke, sometimes there's only smoke because the fire's already gone out. How about with you? Can you even remember the last time you really wanted to go to church? Do you ever talk to anybody about Jesus? Do you ever pray to God just because you love Him and not because your kids are in trouble or you got a bill to pay or you got a test to take at school? Can you even remember the last time you heard that still small voice? And does it even bother you at all that you can't? Is the fire still there? Are we offering God strange fire instead, doing things that God never called us Christians to do? Leviticus chapter 10, Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu. Priests, sacrificing at the altar, one day used a Bic lighter to burn some incense. And fire comes out from the presence of the Lord and cooks them to a turn. Both of them right on the spot. How many of y'all realize God's worship can only be done God's way? Amen. Strange fire. The church today is offering strange fire. Grace Episcopal Church in San Francisco, California right now is offering people a Beyonce mass. Using music videos of Beyonce songs to try to bring people into the church and get them to worship. But my question is, worship who? Worship what? Folks, we're trying everything but Jesus to bring people to Jesus. Christians going all Freddy Krueger on Halloween. Every Halloween in Mustang, Oklahoma. John Millen and his wife Jennifer put all kinds of demonic decorations in their front yard. including a dummy that looks like a man's been decapitated by the garage door. So scary that every single year in Halloween, people driving by think it's real and call 911 and they complain about it. But here's what John Millen said. What are people upset about? It's not like we're pagans or anything. We're Christians. We worship and follow Jesus Christ. So why can't we be a little scary and celebrate Halloween? I'll tell you why. 1 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship does light have with darkness? And the answer is absolutely none. Christians, if we truly are children of the light, how in the world can we glorify the dark side and celebrate Halloween? You don't mess around with strange fire. You keep burning the fire that God already gave you. Is that fire still there? For some of us, the fire is out because we've let distractions in our lives put that fire out. Because we don't understand the whole burnt offering thing. Now, back at the tabernacle, some of the offerings where there were animal sacrifices, God allowed the priest to keep some of the meat from those animals as part of their room and board. But the whole burnt offering, all of it, every single part of it was sacrificed and given to the Lord and burned in the fire. On the cross, Jesus Christ was our whole burnt offering because He sacrificed and gave absolutely everything He had for us. So we Christians are supposed to be whole burnt offerings and sacrifice and give everything we have for Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Every single day, we Christians are supposed to be living sacrifices, which means even though we stay alive, we are sacrificed. We die to ourselves and put to death all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our plans, all of our desires. Not just one part of our life, every part of our life gets sacrificed so we can serve Him. Are we doing that? How about with our looks? The picture you see there is the latest Skeletor model from Nasty Girls Modeling Agency. The world constantly throws at you a standard of beauty that you cannot possibly live up to. And you're so wrapped up on looking hot on the outside, you totally forget about the fire and being hot on the inside. Too much fashion, not enough passion. Listen to me. How you look does not define who you are or what you are. Who you really are is only determined by who you really are in Jesus Christ and by the fire that you have inside of you. So it's really hard for you to be on fire for Jesus Christ and light up the world while you're constantly having the flop sweats about your back 40 or your muffin top. Is the fire still there? Christians, are we sacrificing every area of our lives in order to serve God? How about your love life? Last picture. Everybody remember the Jonas Brothers band from the early 2000s? All claim to be born again Christians with purity rings from Tiffany's. Well, they're grown up now. And Nick Jonas now is now engaged to an actress named Priyanka Chopra, who's Hindu. So last August the 18th, they had a traditional Roka Hindu pre-marriage ceremony in Mumbai for the bride's family, including Hindu prayers. And why would Nick Jonas take a part in something like that? He said this, it was important for us to get the blessing of the gods on our marriage. Gods? What about the God that Nick Jonas claims to believe in, the God of the Bible, the God who says, you shall have no other gods besides me or before me? Christians, listen to me. I don't care how they look. I don't care how much feelings you have for them. Boyfriends and girlfriends who do not know the Lord will put your fire out. Period. Is the fire still there? And I know somebody's listening to this right now thinking, Kevin, the fire is out because I've been hurt too much. I've taken too many hits. He did too. Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre. December 20th, 2010, his 20th year in the NFL. Brett Favre's Minnesota Vikings were playing the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football in Minneapolis at TCF Bank Stadium because the roof of the Metrodome had collapsed a month and a half earlier. The Vikings season was a tire fire. They were just playing out the string. and it was so cold, the turf was like a frozen rock. Well, second quarter, Bears defensive lineman Corey Wooten sacked Brett Favre and slammed his head into the turf. And for the first time in Brett Favre's career, he got knocked out. And when he woke up 15 seconds later, he was snoring. And he kept wondering over and over again, what are the Chicago Bears doing here? And as he walked off the field, he realized the writing was on the wall. So he took a shower, changed his clothes, got him a chili dog and a cup of hot chocolate, and never played another down in the NFL. He retired. And you're thinking, Kevin, that's exactly what I need to do. I need to retire from serving God. No, because retirement's for quitters. Christians, we don't retire. We just refire over and over again. And we keep that fire burning until the Lord calls us home.
That's right.
And you know what helps us do that? I love food, obviously. I love meat. And the kind of meat I like the most is the meat that I cook on a charcoal grill. Sorry, guys, real men use charcoal. Now, a charcoal grill is the closest thing that most of us will ever come to an altar of burnt offering, because believe me, I've offered a lot of burnt offerings and sacrifices on this grill. Now, to cook on a charcoal grill, you need several things. You need a grill, you need some grill grates, you need some charcoal. Most importantly, you need fire to get the charcoal burning. And one of the most handy-dandy things that has ever come along to get charcoal lit up right is this, a charcoal chimney start. Now, before these came along, you had to pile up your charcoal in the middle of the grill and soak it with lighter fluid and light a match. But the problem is, lighter fluid's dangerous stuff. And it makes the meat taste funny. And the coals don't heat up evenly. And a lot of times some coals will roll off the edges and not even light up at all. This takes care of all of that. Just a hollow tube with a hole at each end and a grate underneath. So you just put on top the amount of charcoal that you think you need. Stick a piece of newspaper underneath. Take off the top grate of your grill. Set this down on the bottom grate. And light the newspaper. The bottom coals catch on fire. The fire spreads from the bottom up and sets all the other charcoal in the chimney on fire too. 10 to 12 minutes, all the charcoal is glowing red. You take it out, dump it on the bottom grate, put the top grate back on, and you're ready to cook. Nothing gets charcoal ready faster than a charcoal chimney start. Now, Christians, we've got to realize every single one of us believers is just like this piece of charcoal. Because we're just dead wood and totally useless if we're not on fire. And God knows very well we don't light up ourselves or stay lit for very long if we do it on our own. So God came up with this handy-dandy thing called the church, where He puts all of us coals together. And the Holy Spirit lights a fire. And that fire spreads from one of us charcoals to the other. So that we can burn a lot faster, a lot hotter, a lot brighter, and a lot longer than we ever could if we tried to do it individually on our own. You're hot, I'm not, let's start a fire. That's the concept. So all of you Christians today who are really down on the Church of Jesus Christ, just remember, the best way to stay on fire for God is to surround yourselves with other people who are burning. And why does this matter? Because the world today is dying and going to hell. And people in that world desperately need to see Christians on fire for God. Each one of us, every single one of us, individual Christians, is the light and the fire of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. But you put all that light together in one place called the church, and we can really get cooking. And the entire world around us will show up to watch us burn. But Christians, let me ask you this morning. Is that ever going to happen? Listen to me. I don't care if your fire is getting smaller and smaller. I don't care if your flame is just barely flickering. I don't care if you are as cold as ice because your fire went out a long time ago. God can reignite that passion and that fire in your heart for Him and get us burning all over again if we just turn to Him in repentance and faith.
Amen.
God says, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart and with all your soul. Let's do that today. Let's do that right now, because I still believe in a God who answers by fire.